Hello, America and the world. This is Radio Free Market, and I am your guest host, Aaron Brown, sitting in today for Michael McKay. We are behind the lines of socialism, my friends, and Radio Free Market is the voice of free people and free markets. Our topic today is, does a college degree equal a job? Think again, understanding the higher education bubble. I first want to welcome our special guest, Mr. Douglas French. Hello, Mr. French.
Hello. It's a pleasure to be with you again.
Honored to be with you, too. Mr. French is the president of the Ludwig von Mises Institute. He received his master's degree under Murray Rothbard. Doug is also a former banker who is an expert in financial markets. Also with me today is special commentator, Mr. Edward First. Welcome, Ed.
Aaron, great to be here. Thank you.
Edward is my good friend, and we both attended Mises University this summer, 2011, and were lucky enough to attend it 2010 in Auburn, Alabama. So to start off, Doug, as an economist and a frequent commentator on current events, you've been talking more and more about a controversial topic, which is the higher education bubble, as you call it. Can you give our listeners a brief overview of what the higher education bubble is, in your words?
Well, the bubble is very similar. I tend to equate it to the housing bubble, where if you bought a house, the view was if you bought a house in America, it would always go up in value, and it was the best financial move a person could make. In the case of higher education, the thought was if you got a college degree, you would always come out the other end with the potential to make more and more money than if you hadn't received a college degree. And like all bubbles, the thought of this was that this could never, the value would never go down, and whatever it took to borrow to get a college degree, just as in the case of buying a house where it didn't matter what you borrowed to get into the house, as long as you could borrow and get in and make the payments, it was the best financial move you could make. But it's turning out that many people are ending their college years, and the jobs aren't there. And so that's why I say there's a bursting of the higher education bubble.
Ed, you had a comment on one of Doug's recent articles, the higher education bubble has popped. Why don't you talk to him about that?
Yeah, I sure did. Doug, Ed First here. In your recent article, The Higher Education Bubble Has Popped, you quoted PayPal founder Peter Thiel saying that, quote, a true bubble is when something is overvalued and intensely believed. Education may be the only thing people still believe in the United States. That's the end of the quote. And my question is, what would have to happen to shake that belief in Americans?
I think it's starting to happen already. I think we've got more and more college graduates not finding the kind of jobs that they expected. 85% of the class of 2010 are going back to live with mom and dad. And if that isn't making mom and dad wonder about the investment they made in their son or daughter's education, I don't know what will. So I think as we go forward, we see headlines where B of A is laying off 30,000 bankers. Cisco's laying off people. So it's not blue collar people that are susceptible to layoffs during the downturn. It's white collar people too, and those are typically college graduates. So I think that point of view is changing.
Yeah, we have about 30 seconds left in the rest of the segment, but I'm going to get started on a question, and then we'll address it at the beginning of the next segment. It's kind of this mentality that a company won't hire you unless you have a college degree. Do you think that's a reasonable assumption? And you have about 20 seconds, and I'm going to have to cut you off, but you can go as much as you can.
Well, I think that I think it's employers with technology will be able to judge potential of future employees going forward.
And we'll get
we
in
can
a little
talk
more
about
to that
after.
Sorry, I got it right to the end of the segment. But please stay with us on Radio Free Market. We'll be back with Mr. Douglas French talking about the higher education bubble. Please stay with us. Welcome back, America. We're here on Radio Free Market with Douglas French, president of the Ludwig von Mises Institute. And Doug, I'll let you kind of finish that thought we were talking about at the beginning, at the end of the last segment, that there's kind of this mentality that a company, that you won't get hired unless you have a college degree. And do you think that's reasonable?
Yeah, in the past, I think employers were able to take the easy way out in terms of having universities screen their applicants. And because universities could give their applicants an SAT test and require admission standards, where employees or employers by law could not put their employees through the same sort of intellectual testing that they might have wanted to do. I mean, it was against the law. So they leaned on universities to really do it for them. And so over time, the employers have really gotten sort of a free ride in terms of using the university system in this way. But I think with technology, employers are going to be able to judge the merits of an applicant's potential, because that's really all you know when an applicant is in front of you, what their potential might be, and really be able to judge that without them coming in with a college degree. Because frankly, there's a real question as to the quality of a college degree. There are statistics to show that roughly half of those going to college do not improve their skill level during college. And I think increasingly employers are beginning to question just, you know, how valuable someone coming in with a degree is vis-a-vis comparing them to another applicant that may not have a college degree. So this isn't going to change overnight, but over time I think that employers will be able to judge employees rather than just taking it for granted that the sheepskin means that that the applicant is going to be a good employee.
That's really interesting.
Sure.
Point.
Doug, segueing into a slightly different topic here, apparently higher education is the only industry besides healthcare that didn't suffer even a temporary decline since the recession began. And as of June 2010, in the United States, student debt exceeds credit card debt, and total college debt goes beyond $1 trillion as of this year. What is the significance of these facts?
Well, again, it shows the bubble mentality of this supposed asset. I compare this to the Austrian business cycle, where you've got a cheap debt, you've got a government that guarantees much of this debt, so the debt is given very freely, and people, students, procure the debt and spend it on a college education, again, with the idea that no matter what debt they entail, at the back end of it, it's going to be all worthwhile. And suddenly, this is all burst when, you know, 85,000 bartenders, over 300,000 waiters and waitresses now have college degrees. So clearly, if they incurred, you know, part of this, you know, $1 trillion in debt, then they're not going to be able to pay that off with by waiting tables or serving drinks. And, you know, it's very similar to the Austrian business cycle, where cheap debt, plentiful debt, gives the wrong signals to entrepreneurs who believe that there's been an increase in savings in society and a decrease in time preference. And these people then, these entrepreneurs, invest in higher order goods. And the higher order good in this case is a college education. Of course, typically when Austrians look at the Austrian business cycle, higher order goods are like land and factories. But in this case, it's a college degree. So college degree takes time, just like production processes do, and this 4 to 5 to 6 year process of creating a better employee, if you will, is really what is stimulated by all this debt. So I think that's the significance of all this borrowing that's gone into higher education. It's just very similar to all the debt that went into real estate development and other long-term projects, which we know the time preference of society has not gone down. Savings has not gone up. This is just phony credit created by the banking system and the Fed. And at the other end of it, there isn't an increased demand for bankers and bureaucrats and, you know, other people with college degrees. There's still a demand for bartenders and waitresses. So consumer goods, there's still a demand for those, but there hasn't been an increase in demand for higher order jobs, if you want to use that term.
So Doug, on some of our other shows, we've talked about the Austrian theory of the business cycle, and the kind of the crux of the argument is that entrepreneurs are misled. And I guess in this case, college students are somewhat the entrepreneurs. They're going out into the market and they're trying to find a way to become useful to employers, and that's somewhat of an entrepreneurial venture. So this kind of misleading aspect of the business cycle, what is the Federal Reserve's role in misleading people? How do they mislead people?
Well, they mislead people by the lowering of rates. And the lowering of rates, not that college students are being able to borrow at 0.25% or at zero, but all of these rates that the Fed does control tends to ripple through the entire system of interest rates. And so, you know, students can borrow cheaper than they could have before. But the important thing is that there is this credit is plentiful. It's there for them to borrow. The government stands behind much of this debt, and because of that, people who probably normally on their own creditworthiness could get these loans are able to procure the credit. The other misallocation here is that part of what I talked about, the boom in real estate, the boom at City Hall to accommodate all this real estate development, has given the signal to students that that's where the jobs are, that the jobs are in finance, the jobs are in real estate. You know, at the height of the bubble in 06, most of the earnings of the S&P 500 were from finance, from the banking sector. And so you had this huge boom in the number of people that, you know, want business degrees and finance degrees, hoping to make a living on Wall Street. And you had a huge number of people wanting to be engineers, civil engineers. They get work at county offices around the country to accommodate the boom in real estate. Well, those jobs are increasingly going away. And that's another misallocation and a missignal to the entrepreneurial student, if you will.
Very interesting. There was just an article in Moody's that recently sounded the alarm on the student loan bubble. I just wanted to share a couple stats with you and the audience and get you to comment on them. College tuition and fees have risen more than 400% since 1982, and from 07 to 08, 2007 to 2008, default rates went from 6.7 to 9%. So what does that mean? I mean, what does that mean besides the obvious fact that tuition costs are skyrocketing and more students are defaulting on their debt?
Well, this credit has been directed to people, obviously, who can't pay it, and they can't pay it back because the job that they thought they were going to get with this college education that has grown in cost increasingly, as you mentioned, 440% in the last 25 years. So you've had all this money funneled toward campuses who've continued to jack up their costs because they could get away with it. And even though the product hasn't gotten better, this misallocation of resources has led to an increase in their costs. And it's similar to the cost of housing, the price of housing during the boom. Houses went up in price, not because the quality of the housing got better, but just merely that there was so much capital misdirected in that direction. It's the same way with college educations. They've gone up by 440% 25 years, but the average college student probably is not as well educated as they were 25 years ago.
Ed, sure. I've got a question for you. About a minute
left. Lot of politicians and special interest groups have been claiming that there's an, quote, access problem in higher education, and they say that the more educated somebody is, the more productive they'll be in the economy, and they cite a whole host of data that with correlation-type data and conclude that, therefore, we need more college graduates. So, first of all, what do they mean by a, quote, access problem, and how would you respond to these sorts of claims?
Well, I don't think there's an access problem at all. I mean, I don't know where they get that. I think that anybody that wants to go to college is going to be able to. You know, whether junior college or community college or universities on various levels, I think there's plenty of state aid out there for someone to go. Certainly, someone can you know, work their way through school like a lot of us did. But so I think there's plenty of access. I don't know where they get that.
Doug, I'm sorry to cut you off. We're coming close to the end of this segment. Please stay with us on Radio Free Market. We're here with Doug French talking about the higher education bubble. Please stay with us.
Welcome back, America, to Radio Free Market. I'm special commentator Ed First, and we are here with Doug French discussing the higher education bubble. Doug, before the break, the question was about this correlation-type data that suggests that the more productive, that the more educated somebody is with a higher education degree, the more productive they'll be in the economy. And I wanted to pick your brain on that line of reasoning.
That's a very common contention. You know, David Leonhardt in the New York Times made that claim that even construction workers, police officers, plumbers, and the like are more productive in their jobs. And he actually used data from the Center on Education and the Workplace at Georgetown University to make assertions to the effect that dishwashers, for example, with college degrees made $34,000 a year, while those without made $19,000 a year. And their contention is that the dishwasher with a college degree is more productive and thus worth almost double what a dishwasher would be without a college degree, which, I mean, just on its face is just absurd, the idea that any employer would pay double for a dishwasher with a college degree because they may be more productive, but that particular entrepreneur running that restaurant can't use that productivity necessarily. And there's only so many dishes to wash, and there's only so much money you can pay for that. Now, that dishwasher with a college degree may have abilities to allow he or she to go get another part-time job. And I think that that's where the difference in income lies. You have all of these people that that Hannah Seligson calls malemployed in this country. You've got this, she calls it a phenomenon called malemployment, where you've got all these sales clerks, babysitters, bartenders overqualified for their job, but they're able to piece together two or three jobs and make more income. And so I think maybe that's where the productivity comes in. But these folks are working a lot of jobs, a lot of hours. They may be having fun at it, but they're sure having trouble paying that college debt that it took to get that degree.
You know, I mean, it seems so obvious. As tempting as it is to think that if you can quote Bertrand Russell while you're washing a dish, you're going to be that much more productive. But the ironic thing is these guys are talking about these education matters, but one of the first things you learn is in a liberal education is the the cum hoc ergo propter hoc fallacy. Just because these two things happen to correlate, they assume causation, and it's just dastardly for society when we're forming policy around a fallacy like that. And just to segue into the next question here, it reminds me of some folks on my college campus who are claiming that the cure for rising tuition costs are just more federal subsidies for higher education. What do you think of that proposal?
Well, I think it's obvious if you had more federal subsidies that are going toward college education, then the price of college education is going to continue to go up. And, I mean, it's more or less like healthcare. If the student isn't the consumer and out shopping and is not making the buying decision, and a lot of that funding is left to government, that's just going to cause a further increase in prices. So what needs to happen on college campus, I mean, there's all kinds of reforms, but you know, when you have a lot of your faculty that barely teaches, they can't be fired, there's all the incentive to have to increase staff, increase the number of buildings on campus. This is all increasing costs, and to direct more federal money that direction is just going to, you know, cause that system to be further broken and lead to more malinvestment, frankly.
And I don't want to assume that everyone on the show knows exactly the mechanism by which government funding makes the cost go higher. But, Doug, I'm just going to put a statement out there and just have you comment on it. We have about 2 minutes left, so this will be a pretty short little thing. If the government is going to create money out of thin air and give it to the colleges or give it to students to pay for college, well, then why would colleges ever have to worry about lowering prices? They can just raise prices as much as they want because they know the government will keep giving students money to get there. Does that sound accurate, Doug? And it seems pretty simple mechanism.
Yeah, exactly. Instead of the student having to get go out and borrow, I mean, there's somewhat of a limit as far as what a student can either borrow or their parents can pay for college education. But if that is further enhanced by government funding, you're exactly right. If money is created out of nowhere through the Federal Reserve and the banking system and the government apparatus, or they float bonds for this purpose, and they throw that money in on top of the parents' money or the student's money or what the student can loan, again, you're going to have more money flowing to the university. The university is not going to have any pressure to offer alternatives like online classes or other innovative sorts of education opportunity. They just make more buildings, more campus, and pay their faculty more and more money because they know the demand's going to be there, and they can continue to increase their price because all the students are going to have their money, their parents' money, and now the government's money, and that's just going to lead to an increase in prices.
Mm-hmm. And we're coming close to the end of this segment, so I'm just going to end it right here. Stay with us on Radio Free Market. We're here with Doug French, president of the Ludwig von Mises Institute, talking about the higher education bubble. Please stay with us. Welcome back, America. We are here on Radio Free Market with Doug French. Doug, at the end of the last segment, we were talking about kind of the silly things that universities sometimes build because they're not really subject to market prices because the government will keep giving students money to attend the school. And I was telling Doug during the break for the listeners that the university I attended, the University of San Diego, built a brand new gym, and this is in the midst of the housing crisis, a brand new gym, four stories with multiple, you know, 4 to 5 44-inch HDTVs, brand new ellipticals. I was just looking at this, Doug, and I was thinking, where's the crisis happening for this people? You know, what? I thought prices were, everyone was kind of supposed to live within their means during a recession.
Well, it's common all over the country. I don't know if you or the listeners saw the 60 Minute piece where they did a segment on this very thing, and they highlighted a family that had, I believe, two daughters, and one wanted to go to this university. It was a small liberal arts college, but gosh, it was a considerable amount to attend every year, and the university offered this amazing gym, rock climbing wall, all the bells and whistles, and of course students come and visit, and that's what they see, and they go and they put tremendous pressure on their parents to say, gee, I want to go. Look at all the great things there are. Well, it makes you wonder, is this an investment good, as we've been talking about? You know, is college an investment of 4 to 5 to 6 years to make you more productive so that you can have a higher income later? Or is it a consumption good where you go 4 or 5 or 6 years, climb on the rock climbing wall, go to the great cafeteria, and go to a few football games and party and maybe not get that great an education. So it really makes one wonder, but the same thing's going on across the street at Auburn. Spent $35 million on an indoor practice facility for the football team. They've got an incredible new student area with big screen TVs and all sorts of dining options. And, of course, this all gets funneled back to the student in student fees that they must pay. And at the same time, budgets are getting cut back, classes are getting cut back at Auburn, and they're even talking about doing away with summer school because the budget matters. So there's a disconnect between what they have for building things and what they have for ongoing classroom needs.
Sure. It almost seems like there's two problems, Doug, with this whole debacle, and one is the undying faith in the value of a college degree of any stripe, and the other problem is caused by the easy student loans financed by the government. Are these independent problems, or do these causes reinforce each other?
No, I think they reinforce each other. You've got money funneled in to students. Students come to the campus. You know, it's pretty boring to, gee, there's a classroom, or, you know, some of the faculty may be distinguished, they may not. It probably doesn't matter to the average high school senior. But if you visit campus and see a real cool student pavilion and, you know, nice scenery and fun things to do on campus, you know, that sort of marketing works, and so the easy money is malinvested, not in the classroom necessarily, but as we say, in all the gyms on campus and those sorts of things that are really extracurricular activities.
It is kind of and no matter, you know, we can speak kind of abstract. Not abstractly, but kind of step back. None of us are college students here. But when I was in college, there is an absolute unwritten agreement or kind of understanding among college students that you're not there, you're not guaranteed a job. You're just there to get the paper. And that is, everyone understands that. You know, students are, we talk about some students are misled, and I'm sure they are, into thinking that they're going to get the job. But I think most students really they get it, that this is just a hoop to jump through, pretty much, and that they're not learning, not really learning much, but they're just getting the piece of paper.
Well, I think that's right. I think the people that are really misled, unfortunately, are the parents. I think the parents, you know, they've scraped and saved all their life to make the best. Make for the best opportunities they can for their children, and part of that is, especially if they didn't go to college, they want to. They probably always regret maybe that they didn't go to college, or think they could have done better if they had a college education. So they fork over the money, or in some cases they borrow, or sometimes they take out a second mortgage on their house to have their son or daughter go to school, and because they believe that's the way to a better life and a higher income. And so I think it's not necessarily the students are fooled, but oftentimes the parents.
Yeah.
I think, you know, when you're 18, 19 years old, you're ready to get out of the house, leave town, you know, go have fun. And part of that means, gee, I have to show up to class occasionally and take a few tests, and hopefully at the end of it I get enough credits and get good enough grades to graduate, and then I try to figure out what to do. But I think in a lot of cases the primary consumer here is the parent, and they have expectations that just aren't being met.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'd agree. I have a little more sympathy for the parents, because parents grew up in a time when the degree was actually worth something, and if you can't make that transition and kind of understand what is going on, then you would still think that the college degree is useful. And I know this is one of those kind of crystal ball questions. There's really no way to know, but it's just totally your opinion. Is the bubble starting to unravel in earnest, and how quickly do you think it's going to progress? Where do you think it goes from here?
Oh, I think it I don't know if it's bursting in earnest. I mean, across the street here, I'm in Auburn, Alabama. Auburn University has the highest attendance, if you will, that they've ever had. They've got over 25,000 students, I think, for the first time. And, you know, so I think the idea that college education is a wonderful thing is still alive and well, certainly at some universities. I've written in one of these pieces where many of the jobs that college students were able to get after graduation was working for the government and working in finance, which we talked about earlier. And those jobs, those sectors of the those employment sectors are shrinking. Government is having to cut back as much as they don't want to. And banking and finance is cutting back. So these things don't happen all at once. Those in the education business, that's why Peter Thiel made the statement he did, that talking about a higher education bubble is the equivalent of saying there's no Santa Claus. This is not a popular topic. It's not a popular topic amongst academics or anyone, especially in a college town, because there is this view that this is something that everybody needs. The government's behind it. They believe everybody should have a college education. If everyone had a college education, they would make more money, because college graduates tend to make more money than people who didn't graduate from college. And if they make more money, they can pay higher taxes, and they'll be better citizens, and so on and so forth. And, I mean, it's the same sort of nonsense as that everyone should own their own home. Well, there's people that shouldn't own their own home. They're not capable of running a household and managing a property and fixing a property and that kind of thing. And there's people in this world that college education, a college degree, is a waste of time. And, you know, college is great for people who have the intellectual horsepower to gain something from it, and it helps you, exposes you to things that helps you live a more fruitful life, I suppose. But to just shove everybody through college is not going to raise everyone's income.
And it's not that we who talk about Austrian economics, and I was reminded of Ron Paul was on the news in the debate at the Reagan Library. He said, you know, we who don't always try to insinuate that we who believe in liberty, we lack compassion. It's not that we don't want people to have a college degree or want people to own a house. I'm sure you'd agree that we'd all be happy if everyone could have the wherewithal to own a house. But we're just making a positive sort of statement that this is the way it is. It's not the way it should be, but maybe some people can't afford a house right now. You know, and that we're not saying that's right. It's just the way it is. And if you try to force people with the easy money policy of the Federal Reserve, or otherwise, it's not going to work.
Well, you know, and owning a home, especially in this sort of economic environment and probably the environment we'll have going forward, I think for recent college graduates, especially in young people, the idea of anchoring yourself to a particular locale and have to get a job within that particular locale and make your skills fit in a particular place is that is a very risky proposition in the current world we live in. That might have been great back in the day when you you get a degree and you buy a house and raise some kids and get a job down the street at the bank or whatever, and you had some sort of idea that you know, that job's going to be there, you know, forever, and therefore the investment of your house is going to be fine. But you know, people are going to have to pick up and move to go where the jobs are, and so buying a house is not necessarily, even if you can afford it, may not be the best idea. It's the same way with education. If you're good at fixing cars or writing computer programs or, you know, things like that, and a college degree is not going to enhance your employment prospects. I mean, use those 4 years, 5 years, 6 years to go make a living. You're more likely to be a business owner if you do that than burning up some very productive years of your life. You know, sitting in a classroom, probably being bored because you don't give a hoot about, you know, art history in the 18th century. If you love writing computer programs or applications or what have you. So people need to decide what they want to do, and a college degree may not fit with that. There's a lot of work that's been done that we have numerous, look at the great entrepreneurs out there who've created vast amounts of wealth that either didn't go to college or didn't finish college. And pretty much anybody you name falls into that category. Of course, starting with, famously, with, you know, Bill Gates and guys like Richard Branson and people like that. You know, they didn't finish college. And, of course, Mark Zuckerberg.
Steve Jobs, I believe.
Yeah, Jobs. These guys couldn't even stand to sit through college. And you can't tell me they haven't been successful. And you can't tell me they're not smart.
On that point, Michael McKay, who's, you know, Radio Free Market creator, he was speaking to me about the idea that in this kind of economic atmosphere where all the mechanisms that people use to make kind of rational economic calculation, you know, the price system and the value of money and interest rates, and they're just all completely and utterly manipulated. You know, so what he says is, you know, we're all speculators in this environment, and that kind of is a good explanation of what you were just, your take. What is your take on that? That we're all speculators, and what does it mean for the young and the old in terms of kind of going forward, protecting themselves or living?
Well, it's a great, you know, Michael makes a great point, and of course he's in the money business, money management business, and because the government has lowered rates to just these low levels that have no relation to the time preferences of society, people are put in a position where they feel like they have to speculate or spend their money. And of course, the Federal Reserve would say that, yeah, that's exactly what we're trying to get you to do, is to start spending that cash for it, because they think, as good Keynesians, that if we all go out and spend our money, then that's going to make the economy better. And if spending that money includes buying a college education, then they would believe that's wonderful. But that's not what's going to improve the economy. People need to forego consumption. They need to be saving money. And that is, and let the malinvestments clear. Need, you know, this overbuilding in real estate. Some of that real estate is on college campuses. This malinvestment needs to be corrected. As long as the Fed keeps rates low, It is just delaying that cleansing process, and I fear that it's going to take years for this to resolve itself because of these government policies. And part of this is college education. Part of this is what we're talking about today. Students are going to be suckered into going to college. And at the end of the time they spend there, they're going to be very dissatisfied with the education they got and their opportunities going forward.
I think I was watching a documentary on college. It was called The College Conspiracy, I think that's what it was called. And they were saying, you know, this statistic where that everyone cites, and I forget what they said about it, that a college student will earn $1 million over a lifetime. What's your comment on that? One of the things I remember them said was that if there's inflation, you know, if you work for 45 years, $1 million isn't really that much the way it's going if we're running at 10% a year. But they also said it was just completely misleading. Do you know anything about that?
Well, I'm not sure of I've heard that number too. And but what they don't say, they don't know whether that particular person would have made that money if they hadn't gone to college. I mean, they're comparing people who didn't go to college to people who went to college, but you know, or maybe college degrees, but something tells me that they're not throwing Bill Gates' income into the, you know, didn't go to college category, or Steve Jobs. Or Richard Branson.
I hate to cut you off. We're about to come to the end of this segment, Doug. Please stay with us on Radio Free Market. We're talking about the higher education bubble with Doug French. Please stay with us. Welcome back, America. We're here on Radio Free Market. And, Ed, you wanted to continue that last conversation we were having before the break.
Sure. Yeah, I wanted to bring back this idea of the correlation-causation fallacy. You always get these people talking about how somebody with a college degree is empirically more productive, they empirically make more money, and therefore it is the education itself which has caused them to make that money. And the point that I want to throw out there is that there's a whole host of other factors involved. I mean, couldn't it be that somebody who had the wherewithal to make it all the way through college with a college degree might be more industrious, might be more hardworking, and that could be to explain, you know, why they're making those extra money, or even the fact that people who are in college are their parents can afford to put them in there. Their parents were a little more successful, and maybe they had a more entrepreneurial upbringing. I mean, it seems like there's so many factors involved with that. Do you have any thoughts on that, Doug?
Yeah, that's a point that Peter Thiel makes. And again, he was the founder of PayPal and an early investor in Facebook, so he's done pretty well for himself. And he makes that exact same point, that this idea of causation just falls apart very quickly. And in fact, he's put his money where his mouth is by creating a 20 under 20 program to entice 20 students out of college to become entrepreneurs, essentially to make the case that you can be rich, successful, productive without having a college degree, you know, if you've got the right stuff. And colleges and apologists for colleges are using students who they wouldn't need to go to college to make a lot of money. They'd make a lot of money anyway. And so colleges are trying to have their cake and eat it too with the statistics, and just invalid as you make the point.
Doug, the last question we have for you, we have about two and a half minutes left, is what do you think, what would you suggest to people who are thinking about getting their undergrad degrees? What would you suggest they do?
Well, if people want an education and they feel like it has some value, first they should check their assumptions, see if this is really something they enjoy, or whether they're getting pressure from, you know, peer pressure or parents, pressure from their parents. This same advice goes for parents. Don't let your friends bully you into the idea that your kids have to go to college, that they're going to have a terrible future if they don't go to college. I mean, I've heard of this recently where, you know, a friend of mine asked me this very question. Her boys, very good mechanically, and want to pursue those kind of trades, but all of her friends are telling her, oh, your kids have to go to college. And I said, that's just not true. They can have a successful, productive life without going to college. But if you do want to go to college, do it as cheaply as you possibly can. There's, if you want a college degree, there's plenty of inexpensive alternatives and options rather than paying the freight for big brick-and-mortar institutions where you're paying $30,000 or $40,000 a year, then you're probably not getting any much better of an education. You're going to be completely in hock when you get done. And what is all the connections you made during college, any education you got during college, will not be useful if you are under a mountain of debt that is going to keep you from taking a job that might be the first rung on a ladder to success. And that's what is keeping so many people from being successful right now. A lot of people are going back and getting graduate degrees because they can't afford to get a job, because they're not getting a job that pays well enough to pay off their student loan.
And, Doug, I've got to sign us off. Thank you so much for being with us today, Doug. This is Aaron Brown and Edward First for Radio Free Market. Please visit us on the web at radiofreemarket.com, where you can subscribe for free to all of our shows on iTunes, or visit our Radio Free Market archives for easy downloads. And until next week, wherever you are, please stand up for freedom. Thank you for listening.